Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
Well, I feel like this is the perfect opportunity for us to tell everyone what you just told me.
That I've been watching Love Island.
You have been watching Love Island night after night in secret and not telling me.
In secret? You don't watch it. I'm not going to talk to you about it, am I? What do you want to know?
Well, I want to know why you're watching it.
Because I love it. I say I love it. I don't think it's as good as it has been in the past. I used to love all like the banter and the funny stuff.
Yeah.
It's not that funny anymore. It's quite serious. It's quite scary.
I just want them all to be safe. That's all I want them to be mentally safe. I want them to be physically. I just want them all to come out of it and have a really great experience. So we had Laura on the show the other day, Whitmore, and she was saying that, you know, it's such an intense environment for them because they're there for such a long time. I feel like it might have got longer. It's like
got longer this year. And it does. Do you know what? It really does worry me. And there's so many of the things that we talk about on the podcast about, like, you know, the narratives we've been fed growing up, but how men behave, how women behave, that really show up when they do that Casa Amor thing. If the guys go off and like kiss other girls and do all that kind of stuff, they do that. If the girls do it, the guys are furious with them. And it's like, hang on, sorry,
what? God.
Like, and it's unbelievable to watch. Like, it just plays out and you're like, oh gosh, we're still here. Like,
we haven't moved on at all.
No.
Interesting.
So actually, when this episode goes out, it will have finished. So I will have loads of free time on my hands.
To come back to me, George. Come back to you.
Yes.
Do you want to hear my spider story?
Yeah, go on.
So last night, I'm putting Kit to bed. Sorry, block your ears if you're squeamish and you've got arachnophobia. And you know when you just sense something out the corner of your eye that's moving across the floor? Like, I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was big. And I turned around and I'm not joking here. I swear to God, it's the biggest spider I've ever seen, hands down, even in Kenya. And it was scuttling across the floor. So I obviously immediate reaction, scream. And then I was like, I'm going to have to put something on it. Guess what was next to me to put on it?
What?
Woody from Lightyear, Woody's hat. So I just put Woody's hat on this spider, just trapped it, and then was like, it's like a fucking tarantula here. What am I going to do with it? So I was going, there's a tarantula, and then waking everyone up, and I just was like, what? And I was like, oh, don't worry about it. Just leave it there. Got back from work today, still under there.
Alive?
It's alive, yeah. I've got to take it out. I know, it's really
bad.
You
need to get a bigger cowboy hat.
Oh, God. So anyway, there's a terrifying scenario going on in the next door room. I'm going to put it back to nature because Luna was like, just wait till I get back to school and then we'll put it back in the garden. Will it come back in the house?
I don't know. I've got no idea. I'm actually all right with spiders. Maybe you should phone me.
Okay.
I'm actually not scared of spiders. I'm scared of a lot of things, but not
me
spiders.
Me neither, but this literally looks like something out of a movie, so... Anyway.
So it was Axel's school sports day and I really needed a wee. They wouldn't let me into the school. And so I had to go and do a bush wee. So I'm walking into the like forest, bushes, whatever. And there were so many spiders and bugs all over the floor. So I'm like looking down. And like probably not concentrating on covering myself up that much, doing a wee. And I look up and it says CCTV in operation.
Cool. So they got more than they bargained for.
Absolutely. Yeah.
They were like, oh, look, there's all those bugs and insects. And look, oh, is that a tarantula?
Oh, dear. Right, let's get into today's chat.
Let's do it.
One of my all-time favourite actors, I've got to be honest with you, watching him growing up on our screens in The Inbetweeners, basically howling with laughter week after week. I mean, Caravan Club, Clunges, all sorts. I basically learnt my filthy vocabulary from this man.
Oh my God, my mum loved The Inbetweeners. It used to be her and James's thing that they would watch it together. And I used to be too embarrassed to watch it with her. But her and James would like laugh. Absolutely love it. But
happy place.
Yeah, but it's one of those things you could watch anytime, like probably in 10 years' time, you'll watch it, you still find it funny. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant.
If you're ever feeling low or feeling sad, just put an episode of The Inbetweeners on and it'll sort you out. George, who are we chatting to today?
Today we are chatting to James and Claire Buckley.
Another exciting day on the podcast today, and you will definitely, definitely recognise the voice as soon as you hear it. I grew up watching him on one of the funniest TV shows ever, The Inbetweeners. Today we are joined by James and Claire Buckley.
Hey guys.
So we would love to hear, how did you guys meet?
Not incredibly romantic, just quite bog standard really. We met in Liverpool in a nightclub. And
we didn't meet in a nightclub. We met during
the day. I was DJing.
Yeah, we didn't meet in a nightclub.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more romantic than that.
I thought Claire was obviously very attractive. I thought I'd like to talk to her. And then started talking to Claire, and then we started talking about music, and then we started talking about the Beatles and stuff like that. And
that was
that. I was like, oh,
right.
I'm falling in love with you here. I didn't expect that. And,
James, that's romantic.
I guess so, but we met that day and we've basically lived together ever since. And we've been together, we've never really been apart ever since.
No. Did you know that's what you're signing up for, Claire? You're having a casual conversation about the Beatles.
My mum still makes a joke that I've never really came back from my first date. I'm still on it.
What a ride.
Not in a creepy way though, guys.
Is this sounding a bit creepy?
It might sound a bit creepy. No,
you didn't abduct me. No, I came willingly.
Yeah, it was nice.
I always joke about when me and my husband met, and it took us like 6 months to get together. And then I went round there for the first date to his house, obviously just straight over there. Once I decided that I wanted to be, you know, doing the intimate kissing stuff things with him. So that also sounds sexy, doesn't it? And then I basically didn't leave. And my mum was literally like, you were playing like hard to get for 6 months, and then once you got there you were like,
I'm here,
can't be asked now.
Yeah, I'm done now. tell us about because obviously, you know, Claire, you're from Scotland and James, not, there's no accent there, so how did that kind of moment, you obviously said you stayed, where were you living, James, and talk us through the kind of the romance part before the kids came.
Well, I was down
there wasn't much romance before the kids came.
Well, there was too much romance, and that was
that was the problem.
That's what led to the kids. God. I'm sort of confident without anything to back it up. I always thought I'd be quite a good dad. Jury's still out. Yeah, we were talking about that stuff and we were like, oh, wouldn't it be great to have kids? And I was like, yeah, I think I'd be good. And in my head, I don't know why this is a really weird thing to sort of plan, but I always assumed I'd be a younger dad.
Yeah.
And I was 24, which I guess is young these days. Yeah. It wasn't, you know, when my parents... I was the same age as my parents when I was born. That was sort of the plan, really. I thought I'd be good at it. I thought it would be fun. Turns out it's not as much fun. It is fun, but it's not as much fun as I thought it would be. But, you know, we've done it now.
You're in. So you sort of always knew that you wanted to be young parents. How did your family react to that? Because I think, like you say, if you were the same age as your parents were, I was exactly the same age as my mum was. So she was cool with it. But I remember like some other people being like, oh my God, you're in your 20s. You've got your whole life to live. Did you get a lot of that?
I was 22 when I got pregnant with her first and 23 when I had him. So we did get a lot of, you're really young. And also we weren't together for 6 or 7 months when I got pregnant. Yeah.
So on paper it does look, you can imagine why some people would be like, this is all a bit quick, isn't it?
But again, my mum and dad, my mum was 23 when I was born. So she and my gran had her kids young. And it, I think same as you, they were like, you know, everybody was fine. And also I think what really stood out was, because obviously, you know, James had had girlfriends and I'd had boyfriends, but I think even my family, our families, when we got together, they were like, oh, I think this is it.
Yeah.
So I think everybody sort of had the same feeling. So it wasn't,
although,
a huge shocker.
We told your mum and dad when we were down south. And
no, we were in Spain.
Oh, for we the were in-betweeners. Spain. That's right. Yeah, I was making the in-betweeners film, the first in-betweeners film when pregnant. We found out.
Oh wow!
But we told them, and yeah. Then they said, "Well, obviously, you know, we want to see you. Come up to Scotland." And they were really supportive and really. And I, on the drive up to Scotland, I started to think, "Is her dad just pretending to be all right with this, just to get me in the house?" And when we pulled up at Claire's mum and dad's house, he was watering the front garden, the front lawn. And I had a suitcase and I looked at him and he looked at me and then he sort of pretended to spray me with the hose. It was very intimidating. It was very, and I ran. The only way I could describe the way I ran into the house was the fastest I've ever ran in my life. Also, I looked a little bit.
You did as look if, a little hop.
Yeah, it was like as if Kermit the Frog was running. Sort of legs didn't really touch the ground, sort of thing. But no, everyone was really supportive.
Yeah.
And listen, it's an amazing thing.
And we were ready.
Yeah.
Even though it's sort of like James says on paper, it probably sounds like we weren't. We were. I just slipped into, and I wasn't one of the girls growing up who couldn't wait to be a mum. It was never, you know, top in my list, but I knew I would be a mum. I knew I wanted kids eventually, but as soon as Harrison came along, I was just like, oh my God, this is it.
Would you say that's the reality for you guys? I mean, Zoe and I will both put our hands up and say that we've had to work really hard on our relationship since having kids. Is that something, you know, you were together for 6 months before, you know, getting pregnant, and then however long after that you had children. So it's quite soon. Would you say that has been a challenge?
But when Harrison was born, when he was little, we were still, because, I mean, there's the old saying, one is like one and two is like 20, which is so true, because when it was just Harrison, I mean, Jude was born 21 months after Harrison, but there was a little while where it was just the three of us, and we still did everything that we used to do. You know, we went to gigs and we went for dinner and we hung out with friends and stuff like that. When you then become a family of four, it was a little bit trickier.
Just bring the kids along. Yeah. I love that. And would you say that they're the sort of parents you are? You're quite laid back and you just kind of go with the flow. What kind of parents are you? Is there a good cop? Is there a bad cop?
I would definitely say at the beginning, especially when they were babies, we were really laid back. We weren't the parents who had, you know, the schedule and the sleep classes,
the routine.
Like, we didn't do anything like that. No, not really. The kids just ran around and fell asleep when they fell asleep. Obviously, it gets different when you start school.
That's when you get into your
a natural routine. You know, the kids come home from school and they're tired. They eat dinner, they go for a bath, and they want to sleep anyway. But I would definitely say before school, we were. Yeah, we would travel.
We would just, because obviously we didn't have school, we would just go, oh, should we go away tomorrow?
And James's job, obviously we were really lucky where, you know, if he had, you know, 4 months off, we were just free to up and down to Scotland.
I was really, really lucky that when Harrison was born, I just took a year off. I didn't do anything.
Because the first film had just
came. Amazing.
And I didn't do anything for a year. And that was, don't get me wrong, that it wasn't a novelty. I understand how lucky I was to be able to do that.
Yeah.
So I just got to spend the year with this new little guy, see if we got on, see if we clicked. We did, luckily enough.
Thank God.
We talk and we joke and we don't really ever have any awkward conversations with our kids that much and stuff, even though Harrison has now started doing those lessons at school.
Oh, yeah. How are they going down?
Well,
good. They're both really mature as well.
They're quite mature. The pair of them are quite mature, but also it is quite funny. It doesn't matter whether you're a kid or whether you're an adult. It's funny talking about that.
Of course
stuff.
It is.
And he called me up. I was away working
just one a few evening, months ago.
When he came back from his first lesson, and I was talking to him on the phone, and he said, "Oh, Dad, I had my first sex education lesson today." He's like, I've got some questions." And I just went, "Well, I've probably got a few questions for you, mate, to be honest." And I think that's a good example of our parenting attitude.
But it's good, though, because they both feel comfortable. And I think that's a little bit of the more sort of, you know, new age parenting and laid back. They're really comfortable saying, I heard this today. Is this true? Yeah. Is that real? Is it? And you just sort of got to do your best to explain it.
We always want our kids to be able to talk to us about anything.
Mm. Yeah. Did you guys have that relationship with your parents?
I didn't
know. No, it was a bit more old fashioned.
Yeah, more sort of that traditional. I was just worried about getting told off.
Yeah,
or being
I didn't
in trouble.
Bring anything like that up. No.
You've never had any of
those conversations with them at all. It's amazing that you then want to have those conversations. I think that's so lovely, because sometimes there's a danger if you maybe had certain holes in your, you know, parenting experience with your own parents, that you might bring that down. And, you know, that we do hear that a lot, but it's really nice that you've sort of flipped it on its head, that you want a really liberal household where people are having conversations around the table, over the phone.
Absolutely. Even in the sense of, you know, coming home from school and saying, oh, there was, you know, a bit of an issue and somebody said this and I'm not really sure what it means, or, you know, that sort of thing. I definitely, you know, hope and try to be more open where it's, just, you know, come in, tell me, explain it. If it's something that, you know, you shouldn't be talking about or that person shouldn't have said, then I'll explain to you why. And you know, so I definitely think we...
Also, the kind of graphic descriptive language that I've used on television, I don't think I'm in any position to turn around to people and go, oh, no, don't talk about that in front of me, please.
You can't talk about Caravan Club in front of your kids ever, really. I mean, you're going to show them any of those episodes?
When can they watch it?
When can they watch it?
Oh, God.
When they're 42.
Let's talk about the responsibility that you have, I guess we all have, because we've all got sons, in raising your boys to become good men. And what the conversations that you guys are having between the two of you, and I guess just that whole sort of feeling around it.
Well, being good people is the most important thing to us. It's the thing that we've hammered into them as, you know, from a very young age.
Not physically.
Every day when I drop them off from school, I ask them to do four things and we all say it together, and they have to be good, be nice, work hard and have fun. And
that's lovely.
Being nice people is so, so important. Very sensitive as well. They're very sensitive boys,
really,
which
sensitive.
Is, that can be a worry, because you sort of, you know,
they worry about stuff.
Especially our youngest, Jude. He's the kind of person that cries at Oxfam adverts and things like that. And you sort of, even though that's dead sweet and really nice, with, you know, you do worry.
And aware, you know, Jude's really aware. And that he actually just, my mum's here visiting us, and he just had a conversation with my mum this morning saying that he was saying, you know, have you heard about the stuff in Ukraine? And it's so worrying, and I hope everybody's okay and that sort of stuff. And my mum was just like saying to me, she was like, that boy is destined to do something that, you know, is...
I think he'll want to help people. Yeah, I said this the other day. Yeah. No, we were talking about this the
other
day.
He's definitely got that.
But
vibe.
Yeah, being nice young men, nice polite young men, nice to everyone is so important.
Mm. But he used to be, the funny thing was, when Jude was really young, he was, Harrison described him as savage. He was quite, but the younger brother, you know, he always had to play fighting with Harrison and stuff.
Yeah.
But Jude was always the sort of handsy one, and go a bit, and we had to sort of be like, all right, you know, chill out, remember to be nice.
You mentioned that your kids are quite sensitive, and, you know, they can often, like, sort of take on the weight of the world. I have this with my son. Mm-hmm. He's very knowing, and he can feel really affected by things. I sometimes struggle to know where to draw the line with protecting him in the, you know, protecting him from things that maybe I don't want him to know about until he's an adult, but then also, you know, for him to grow up being empathetic and understanding what's going on in the world. How do you balance that?
You do want them to be able to understand other people's points of view and understand what other people have to go through and to empathize with that. But at the same time,
you don't really want
them to be depressed about it and upset about it. You never want your child to cry. Like, that's the total opposite of what you want.
But I think there is a balance. I mean, even at the boys' school, you know, when sort of big things happened in the world maybe over the past few years, you know, we, their school's quite good. We would get emails saying, you know, we do have to speak about these things because children are so much more aware than even maybe we realise. They hear what you're talking about and they see the news and that sort of stuff. So again, I think it's just that little balance. My personal way, you know, was, especially with Harrison, maybe, you know, a couple of years ago when there was big world events, it was sort of being, again, open and honest to a certain extent, you know, for what his little brain could handle, yeah. Chatting about the stuff that he had heard and, you know, telling him whether it was right or wrong or, you know, why it happened and what maybe, you know, the problems were with how other people were behaving, that all that sort of stuff. But then also, I think there's such an easy way where you would hope that, you know, just being a mum and saying, okay, we've talked about that, let's go and, you know, should we go outside? Should we do this? Should we do that? And it's getting that balance in it. And again, obviously, you know, that's a lucky position to be in where you're just talking about these things and then hopefully you can go and, you know, take their mind off it and do something else. And
but I also wouldn't worry about it too much either because I think they'll grow up yeah. And they'll...
But if they're asking questions,
they won't get as upset about things. They'll be able to handle things better mentally, but they'll still be able to have that sensitivity and be able to, you know, understand things that are going on and maybe even grow up thinking, I'd really like to change this. I'd really like to make things better and I care about people and I want to help people.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
This wonderful thing to give to your kids, to give them the choice to make a difference, to give them the choice to kind of be empowered to actually, you know, I don't need to be an arsehole. I don't need to be a bully. You know, there wasn't any of those conversations going on when we were kids. Let's talk about socials, social media. You've obviously got your YouTube channel and let's talk about how you feel about the kids being on social media and what your kind of conversations are around that.
Absolutely not. I don't think it's very healthy. I've got really extreme views on social
media. Come on, give them to us.
Give them to us.
No, I just think it should be, you know, if you really wanted, I think you should be of a certain age before you go on social media. I don't think it's a very, mentally, I don't think it's very healthy for young children when their brains are still developing. Mm-hmm. I do think it should be, you know, like alcohol or smoking. Yeah. I think it should be like a certain age, just for health reasons. Just for health reasons.
Yeah.
But this is a thing that we're going to be getting into very soon because Harrison's a couple of years away now from being a teenager.
But right now it's absolutely not.
Does he have a phone now?
No.
Because I heard the other day, actually it was some mums from school, that one of them had an older child, I think in year five, and she just casually was sort of saying, oh, you know, on WhatsApp in the morning, some of the girls are posting how they've done their hair in like the class WhatsApp group.
What?
And I suddenly was like, hang on, what? They're sending photos of themselves in, like taking selfies in the morning, sending photos. Seems harmless, right? Like, oh, you know, this is how I'm doing my hair today. How are you doing your hair?
Yeah.
But I came away and I felt really unnerved by it. I thought, hang on, they're in year five at school. Yeah. Like, why should they be caring? Like, why do they care how they're going to dress, going to school and then wanting to document
year five?
It?
Is that Isla? Is that nine? So, Isla's in year five, isn't she?
My
daughter, yeah, nine, ten. Yeah, exactly.
10, yeah. You could, yeah, so is Harrison, but yeah. It's not going to happen. No, same. I think you could take it two ways, you know, as a little bit. But, you know, is that just, listen, is that just the new way? This day and age where little girls, you know, I remember coming home from school, maybe not in primary school, but definitely early secondary school. And like the first thing you would do, I'd just been with my friends all day, but you would, you know, phone them up and you would sit on the phone for hours. I guess it's the same thing. I know pictures and stuff are always a little bit, you're like, oh God. But I mean, there's a little bit of, yeah, you got to move with the times. For me, that's too young. Harrison's not going to get a phone until I feel like he needs it, which is probably secondary school.
The last time he asked us, I said, who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters? Yeah.
I think it's the need. I think it's the seeking validation thing, though, isn't it? It's like the whole social media, like taking a photo, sending it to your friends before you go to school. You can get, you know, look in the mirror and think, oh, I love my hair. But if your friends say that they don't,
this is the thing that I'm worried about, is that I really don't want them to be on Facebook or Twitter or anything like that. But there will come a point where they go, but every single one of my friends are, and now I'm getting singled out in a negative way because I'm not. And yeah, I mean, that's coming up for us, and I'm not looking forward to that one at all. I still don't quite know how to navigate my way around that.
How do you feel about gaming?
My boys are into their video games, and I'm a lifelong video gamer. I absolutely love video games. So my boys are quite lucky because I know what they're doing. I know what games they're playing. And like when
and James
I was a kid,
knows all the settings, so all the chats are off and this is off.
All
this
safety
is on,
settings
so they
if they play
it.
A game online or something like that.
If it was just me, I would have no idea. So that would be a worry.
So they're quite lucky in that I know I've got my eye on that and I know what they're doing and how they're doing it. But I can imagine it would be quite,
if you don't understand that
would be, that would be quite difficult to get around as well.
What advice would you give to parents who don't understand it? I'm not into gaming. My husband's not into gaming. We actually don't really, I don't know. I don't really know many people who I could go to for advice.
Go through the settings.
I would say if possible, no games that go online anyway, just games that you know, brothers and sisters can play together with two controllers.
Yeah, because you can add the Switch. You can add, because Harrison plays with a couple of little friends on his Switch, but it's just, the Nintendo Switch has got this long, big number.
Yeah,
you can only add one other.
The Nintendo Switch is actually very safe with adding friends and stuff like that. You have to have a great big long code that you have to give to someone before they can
add
you on their console. But I would say try and stay offline. But if they want to, if you do feel comfortable playing games like Roblox or Minecraft with school friends and stuff like that, just go through the settings. Make sure that
chat modes sort of stuff.
It's private and nobody can just join a session and things like that, which
is essential.
You can Google. Yeah. You can just Google how do I make sure this game is child safe, and then they'll be able to play it with their friends and they can have some fun and you'll
feel safe with it.
You know they're safe and secure doing it. And there definitely is ways to be able to do that. But as I say, luckily enough, I know all this stuff anyway.
Yeah,
so and you're usually playing with them.
I'm usually playing with them, so it's not a huge deal.
Yeah, they've got their own little world built up in Minecraft, Buckley Boys world.
James is like the sheriff of that town, I imagine. He knows everything. Can we talk about Meet the Buckleys? Tell us about the YouTube channel, tell us about the book, because it's an exciting time for you guys, right?
Well, it is actually, yeah.
Terrifying.
I guess you would call it exciting. Yeah. I never thought about it that way. It's our YouTube channel, At Home with the Buckleys. It's just a vlogging channel. We make one video a week, and we started it during lockdown out of sort of boredom and the fact that, you know, we like to be creative and we like to feel like that we're doing stuff. And the response to it was actually really pleasant and really nice. So we've carried it on ever since, and it keeps us very busy, and it keeps us busy in a really great way, in that I don't have to go to Romania for 6 weeks or something like that and make a film that no one's ever going to watch. I get to be at home. But we do have a book coming out as well, which September. Again is
It's September.
Like, absolutely ridiculous.
Just stupid, yeah.
And what can we expect from the book?
It's just an extension of the YouTube channel, really. It's our personalities and little anecdotes. And we talk about the kids and we talk about when we first started going out and holidays and, you know,
birth stories.
Birth stories and stuff like that.
Who did more? Who did more? Who wrote more of the book?
It does for this podcast.
No, it really does. It really matters.
Who did more?
It's really not important. It was fun doing it, but now we're at the point where we're now obviously talking about it and we never considered that people would actually
what, just
might
really
read
embarrassed
it. And we were like, oh no.
Who do we think we
I know,
are?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be a massive success because obviously people are so engaged on the YouTube channel. And as you said, it's just going to be an extension. Before we say goodbye to you, go on, George, you crack on, ask the question. I look forward to this
right,
one.
Right, before we say goodbye, we always like to ask our guests for the best piece of advice that they would give new parents or the best piece of advice they've been given themselves.
Well, since day one, I've always said this, and our friends actually just had a baby and... we had a conversation with the dad and he said that as well. He said, you know, you get all this advice. And I said, listen, I don't like giving new parents advice because it's such a different experience for everybody. And there's not one thing that goes for everybody. But for me, I think this might be it, which, and it's not really advice, but it's genuinely just every second, especially that newborn stage, just enjoy it. Like, you know, I got so hung up on the breastfeeding and is this right and is that right and am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? And my midwife came in and Harrison, I was struggling to breastfeed him and, you know, I was all stressed and he was stressed and I was worrying he was going to be starving and all this sort of stuff. And she sat on the bed where I was sitting and she was like, are you enjoying this? And I was like, no, I don't know. And I was getting all... And she was like, Claire, you will never get this time back again. She was like, you have to enjoy this. She was like, if he needs a bottle and you can't breastfeed, even though it's what you wanted to do, give him a bottle because this is the happiest time. Like, enjoy it. Look at your little baby and this and that. And so my thing would be, you know, if you want to watch them sleep for 45 minutes and just stare at them, do it. If you want to, you know, just sit and stare at them or just whatever it is, just really try and enjoy, especially that first, because it doesn't last long at all. Before you know it, they're crawling and they're up and they're away and they're gone. And
also, as you say, they're all different. So it's really, so.
Don't try and follow
new parents. New parents will be getting advice from everywhere. But I always found with our two that it was better to just see what they want, see what they're like.
They tell you.
Yeah, they'll let you know. They'll let you know what you need, what they need. Mm. And at the very beginning, it's usually one of three things. Simplify it in your mind like that. That might take a bit of pressure off you because it is pressure. It's massive pressure. You've got to keep a human being alive.
Yeah.
And that is a really scary thought, especially when you're just like the first
brand
one.
New. Yeah.
But
enjoy it. Just take those little moments and just look at them and stare at them and just be like, oh, and, you know. And it's hard not to get wrapped up in the, you know, oh, well, the dishes need done and this needs done and that and that. And you do, of course, you have to get on with life. Yeah. You have to get on with it. But
with that sort of stuff, give yourself a break.
Give yourself a break.
Give yourself a break. Don't get too hung up on that sort of stuff. And also just remember that it is tricky. It is difficult and you're not weird. If you're a little bit stressed and a little bit tired, that's not unusual at all whatsoever. Mm. So make sure you give yourself a break. Just go, do you know what? Listen, this is baby's still here. We're all right. You know.
You two are like bumblebees. You like finish each other's sentences. It's really cute. Listening to you, like, yeah, you're going to be really, struggling. That's right, Claire. Yeah, that's it. It's so cute. It's lovely, lovely to hear. You spend a lot of time together, so it shows.
Do bumblebees finish each other's sentences?
They're like that.
I didn't know bumblebees could talk.
Yeah, to each other, guys.
I'm going to really look into this.
Don't look into it too much, James. Just go with it. When's the book out, guys? And where can people get it? I'm guessing Amazon.
Amazon, WH Smith, Waterstones, All Good Bookstores. W.H. Smith are doing a signed copy, which I think is cheaper than the non-signed copy.
I'd hope so, because, you know, we've ruined the book, basically.
Thank you so
Good
much.
Good luck with it, guys. Thank it's been lovely chatting to you. Really great to have you on.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, guys.
I really loved the insight around the gaming in that conversation. Social media and stuff, they had really strong views on it, which I really respect.
Yeah, me too. And I think as well, like if you've got one person in the house that's a gamer and they know all of that kind of stuff, I guess it's inevitable that your kids are going to get into it as well. And actually then it becomes like a family activity rather than seen as like, oh gosh, the kids are just going to go and shut themselves in their rooms and game. They do it together. And I'd never thought of it like that, like as an actual family activity. I don't know, it's quite nice.
Yeah, and to get an insight into, you know, how to set the filters and how to kind of, you know, stop them watching all things at all hours. I definitely need some help in that arena. In fact, you know what? There's just not going to be any games in the house. So.
No, none in our house either.
And I also love the fact that he said that he wasn't going to let, the kids watch The In-Betweeners for a really long time.
Can you imagine? It's basically like letting your kids watch you and how you behaved in your teenage years on a TV show.
Yeah, yeah.
But obviously, it's not real, but it is basically the same. Kind of.
Oh, God. A massive thank you to James and Claire for coming on. They were fantastic guests. And to you guys listening, thank you so much. As always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe, and give the podcast a little follow.
Yeah, please do. And tag us in your pictures to show us where and how you are listening. And we'll be back on Friday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.